Private or in-house networks allow you to manage direct strategic relationships with your partners. While the benefits of this approach are well accepted, the return of time investment for the setup, tracking, automation, reporting and curation cannot be anticipated. Myths in the industry about why a private network does not make sense stick, and often these myths are forwarded unfiltered and undiscussed in our ecosystem. In this episode, we talk about those myths by having a behind-the-scenes look at Idealo's journey of setting up a private affiliate network. With me today is Andrea Springer-Ferrazin, Head of Affiliate Marketing at Idealo. We talk about the hierarchy of needs of a private network from the strategic and technical perspective, from basic needs of tracking up to higher levels of reporting and curation. Full disclosure, Idealo is a long-term customer of Ingenious Technologies. We thank Idealo for sharing their experience with us to foster educating the partner marketing landscape. And now enjoy the episode.
My name is Andrea, and for a little bit over 2 years now, I've been heading the affiliate marketing program at Idealo. And I'm here today to give you a little bit of insights on how across 6 markets, we have supplemented our affiliate marketing program with a private network, and a little bit about the strategic decisions behind that.
Hi, my name is Siamak. I'm a board member of Ingenious Technologies. We are the technology behind this corporation, and I'm an engineer by heart, and I'm trying to build best technologies, and I'm doing this for 4 years in Ingenious, and since, I would say, 1.5 years together with Andrea, and enjoying this relationship and partnership. So let's go directly into the slides. So we tried to focus around clickbait, as you see today. 5.5 myths busted, but actually we have a more serious topic behind it. So it's the behind the scenes look on Idealo's private affiliate network. And the idea is that we show you some myths and then, yeah, bust them, as you know. The first myth is the half myth. It's about that you went to this masterclass by expecting a lot of technology, a lot of deep dive into technology, and let's bust it. First of all, let's start with something completely different. Let's start with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I just want to introduce it quickly to you because I'm not sure if everyone knows it. So the hierarchy of needs is that it's about humans and about their progress in their life. And the idea is that lower levels in this pyramid need to be satisfied before individuals can attend to needs into the higher level. From bottom to upwards, the needs are psychological, safety, love and belonging, esteem and self-actuation. Basic needs are basic needs. It's food, water, breathing, it's psychological, and it's also about safety, like financial safety, stability, health and wellness. Psychological needs going up the pyramid are about social acceptance, friendship, romantic attachments, family, and stuff like that. And the self-esteem and the esteem is appreciation and respect. So it's about professional life, athletic achievements and stuff like that. And finally, on the top of the iceberg or top of the pyramid, it's about self-actuation. So it's like what I want to receive, what I want to achieve in my life. What are my full talents? So why we present that to you? The idea is that we want to flip that around and talk about the hierarchy of needs of private networks. The idea is that also from bottom to top, we are talking about basic needs, about more higher needs, and then finally about the self-esteem area. And we want to also keep that as the agenda. So we will work from bottom to up. So this is how you will see it in throughout the slides, that we busted the first myth. It's not all about technology. We are very well, we very well know that it's all about humans and about psychology when it comes to partner marketing and about private networks. Andrea, why not start with the setup?
Yeah, let's start with the setup and let me actually address our audience here for a minute. Those of you who are on the advertising side, I'm sure some of you have in the past found yourselves confronted with the notion, should I establish a private network? What could be the benefits of it? I don't think we need to iterate the numerous strategic benefits right here, right now. But you might have already been deterred before even entering the setup stage by thinking, well, private network, that's only relevant for large advertisers, and it requires serious IT knowledge to set it up. So I'm sure there's quite a number of you guys who've been put off by that and have not even tried. And I want to take a closer look together with you to see if that is true at the example of Idealo. So if we take a look at Idealo and what Idealo's setup looked like at the time when we did decide to establish a private network, we can see that we had 5 full-time employees in the affiliate marketing channel at the time, only 2 of which were actively working on the setup together with our software as a service provider, Ingenious Technologies. So this really, this partnership made it possible for the remaining 3 team members to focus on daily operations, of course, keep the business going as we started with the setup of 1 of our 6 advertisers. So this was another key element. We decided to really focus one advertiser, put Germany at the starting line so that we could easily copy and paste the other advertisers afterwards. Another important factor is that even though we have, of course, numerous publishers, we decided to only go live with fewer than 10 publishers. So I think to be exact, it was 6 or 7 publishers who went live with us at the very beginning. This was a strategic decision to focus on premium publishers who we have a good relationship with, also to get honest feedback about the hiccups of the program at the very beginning and to communicate with publishers along the way. Also, another thing that advertisers are often put off by is the presumably large amount of upfront sums that have to be paid in order to set up a private network. Let me reassure you here that really, if you're working with a serious software as a service provider, most commission models will be event-based. So really, the fees you pay will only grow as you yourself grow your program. Now, let me give some context to this private network of Idealos that I've been talking about. Here's a little timeline for you. The second half of last year was spent doing the pre-launch setup and preparation. So what does this mean? We concerned ourselves with platform setup, anything from legal and security questions to data privacy, terms and conditions. We also, of course, worked on the tracking setup. We readied our domain. We took care of finances, set up invoicing processes, and of course, set up that one German advertiser that I talked about, including a description, various categories, conversion targets, rules, and partner accounts. And then at the beginning of 2020, we were ready to go live, and we launched the program in Germany, like I said, with fewer than 10 publishers. And throughout the course of March through June, we grew the program to around 50 premium partners. So as you can see, it's still quite small, but we have already launched our second advertiser. In the meantime, it was a simple copy-paste job copying the German advertiser to our Spanish market. And we'll now proceed to launch across our remaining Idealo markets by the end of the year. Now, this might answer the question of manpower and do I have to be a large advertiser with a large team to set up a private affiliate network? No, you don't. But you might still be wondering, well, is it even relevant for me if I don't have a significantly magnetic advertiser brand? And to those of you who are thinking that, I want to say you should consider moving away from using private network as an acquisition tool and instead consider your current publisher base. And a private network is relevant to you if you value your partnerships and if you want to help grow and extend them. So really, you should consider, do you want to offer your partners insights and real-time reportings, which for a lot of you who are operating on a direct partnership basis without any network in between, is a struggle, as I can tell you from personal experience. A private network is also relevant to you if you, of course, want to incentivize your partnerships by offering amazing tracking solutions. And there will be a whole different category coming up in a few minutes talking about tracking. And finally, you should consider a private network if you really want to promote that exclusive and direct exchange with your top of funnel premium partners. Moreover, if we think outside pure strategy, let's talk about data. Even if you have a very, very small advertiser program, you should consider, do you want to share your data, or how much of your data surrounding this program do you want to share with the outside world and with third-party providers? You might have some strategic relationships that, you know, you found that very special recipe for, you made them very successful. And now the question is, do you want to give anyone else insights and risk those partnership models being cloned across your competitors? Or would you rather protect this data next to, of course, the nature and composition of your affiliate marketing mix? So who exactly is sending you traffic in the affiliate world? Are you working with cashback models? Do you have amazing top of funnel publishers that your competitors don't have and that you don't want them finding out about, of course? And finally, data privacy. So we also always have to keep in mind the customer data and the behavior that we track. We really should focus on keeping this with us as the advertiser and not sharing this very, very sensitive data with anyone else. Now that we've talked about why a private network might be relevant to you as an advertiser, Siamak, can you tell us a little bit more about the actual technical setup?
Yeah, sure. I mean, behind all of that, and that the seamless process just works from the perspective of the customer, we prepared technology, software, but also experience with throughout years how this setup can look like. Because the worst thing is that the setup becomes prominent in the process, but those things which Andrea pointed out should be prominent, not the technology. So with Ingenious Technologies, you have a white labeling system. So you can white label as much as you want, and this can be done later. But we found out that identifying yourself with your platform is the first like basic need you have, that you understand that it's yours. Not it's software as a service, but it's your data and your brand, which should be in front and not Ingenious or any other brand. The next thing is that you need to take care about tracking, and it's the most basic thing. We will talk about that later, but it's very easy. It's not the most complicated thing in the world, because we are talking about the data light approach, where we just have to have the data which is important to do partner marketing, to attribute partners credit, to be able to do the attribution, but also the payment and commissions. This is very data light, and it's not a very complicated process. The idea is also that you are not talking to the software alone. So we could have the system sitting there and you click yourself through the user interface, but we don't do that. We put on your side a team of solution engineers which really try to understand your business model, the first needs you have, and the experiences you made until now, maybe with public networks or some other private networks, just understand where the bottlenecks are and where they can help you to achieve success in the first weeks. What I can say about this is that simplicity and focus is key, because you will learn on your path, and you don't have to have the waterfall approach to have everything perfect in the beginning, because this thing is about continuous learning. In 2020, you should also consider channels. You should also consider app tracking. You can't live without it. You should consider traffic like Google, Facebook, Twitter. You have to integrate maybe your existing app. And this is very good with pre-integrated partners. So you should rely on yourself as a service partner that they talk to other technologies. It's not your task. I mean, if you would do all of that, you wouldn't need the software at all. It's not about software. It's also about connections to the industry, connections about other technology providers. And you can expect to click and point and click and have some integrations. And I think with the example of Adjust, I just want to point for a second to Andrea, because Idealo had the Adjust SDK integrated in their mobile app, in their pre-existing mobile app. And we had, from my point of view, a very successful integration in some days or weeks, which made it surprisingly for Idealo how it can work. Andrea, can you confirm that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was not even weeks, it was days. So we had previously tried another in-app integration, and it was, I think, a process of several months, and it was not very successful. And then when time came again, I reached out to my app colleague at Idealo. I told her, hey, we want to set up in-app tracking together with Ingenious. There was a little bit of apprehension at first, thinking that it might be a repeat of a month-long process. And actually, I think within 2 or 3 days, in just a few clicks, adding a few parameters, everything was set up. And I was surprised, my colleague was even more surprised at how easy it can be. So this really confirms what you're saying, Siamak.
Okay, I have to say that was also from your side. You're a very tech-savvy customer, and it's very great to work with you. So your team just knew what they have to do in the SDK. It might have been on the other side more different, but this thing worked very well in between our companies. And even if it takes weeks, it's fast enough for this kind of business. So I have to say, we busted the myth that setting up a private network is only relevant if you are a huge, huge advertiser, and that you first need to have the doctoral thesis in IT and the big IT department to do that. It's the other way around. You should buy into a vendor which doesn't provide you only with technology, but also with the experience using, adapting, and installing that technology. This is the key thing, I think, in this level of hierarchy of needs for partner and private networks. So next, we try to climb up the pyramid. It's getting harder. Maybe it's windier up there. We talk about tracking. And this is my part. I will just continue because I love talk about tracking. First of all, let's start with the myth. Myth is that tracking doesn't work, that browser regulation just killed tracking and the cookie is dead, and we all can stop doing affiliate or partner marketing. Why don't learn something else? Let's go into it. The idea is that tracking is a complex topic. It's a complex topic when you're a software engineer. It shouldn't be a complex topic when you want to use it, and it should work for you. And here we have another hierarchy of needs, if you want. But it's all about going from bottom to up. It's about measuring. Measuring means, are you even able to collect the data? And we are living in a times where most of the marketing data is put somewhere in JavaScript, somewhere into the website, and pushed out via third-party cookies. And then, yes, yeah, then you have troubles to collect your data. With Ingenious, all of our customers, including Idealo, has a first party setup. We don't even have one customer who uses tracking in a third party setup. So we always run on subdomains. Next, if you have good measure, you want to go to build customer journeys. I won't go into the details how customer journeys are built. And this is a continuous effort because the environment changes. What you need to know is that your technology provider is able to build them. Customer journeys just describe the path, how this lead or sale became possible throughout channels. Then going more in the upper layer, you can work with this data. You measured well, you have customer journeys, now what? So you can have different kinds of attribution models and basket trees and other types of interesting attribution models, which just rely on the partnerships you have. So you have a private network, you want strategic partners. Strategic partners have some expectations, and these expectations you have to meet. And this is all technology. We don't even started you to introduce you into technology because you just want to point and click. And in the upper part, sure, we know that it's hard to work with multi-touch attribution, but it's there. It's commodity. It's not future. It's not rocket science. So advertisers are out there also in the German area, which just want to work also in another way, or more fairness, or their definition of fairness with publishers throughout the customer journey. And the whole idea is that we cover your back. The coverage is about simply looking continuously and monitoring the environment and see what threats might be out there for your success, for your technology, for your measurement, for your customer journeys. And what can we do to overcome those threats? It's not about bypassing some useful technology, but it's about putting you into control if you want to bypass, how you want to bypass, and what is your local demand on privacy and regulation, which you need to fulfill. From your software as a service provider, you should expect that all of this is configurable. You might even start a country where regulation is different than in EU and GDPR. You might face other regulations from the same technology. From the same technology, you might face different requirements. And this is up to us to cover your back. However, tracking is your essential infrastructure. It is your water. It is your electricity for your private network. This is what I can remind you, and this is the basic need we have. Andrea, I think tracking is, from the perspective of you, from a strategic point of view, more than I presented. I just talked about clicks and views and some buzzwords which no one understands. But now let's come to the area where people just want to know why.
Well, yeah, thank you. I think it's important to understand the technical possibilities, and you covered that very well. But I'm fully aware that there's still advertisers out there who might be wondering, well, what's the strategic return of investment, you know, of investing in this tracking infrastructure, in creating this body of water that is so essential, when really, let's be honest, I, as an advertiser, receive my sales either way, whether they're tracked or not. And best case scenario, I don't even have to commission them. I don't have to pay for sales that partners brought to my site. That is a very short-minded way of going about it. And I want to let you in on a lesson that we learned as Idealo, in a very, very unique double functionality that disproves this theory. So for those of you who are familiar with the Idealo business model, you might know that as a platform, we're sort of in between both sides. So obviously, speaking to you from a marketing perspective, meaning that the affiliate marketing that we do, we show up as an advertiser. We work with numerous publishers who we acquire traffic from, traffic that goes from publisher sites to Idealo. However, at Idealo, we also have a second affiliate team who deals entirely with affiliate as a publisher, meaning that we have numerous affiliate ties with shops whose products we list and promote on Idealo and who we send traffic to. So we actually have experience being both advertiser and publisher, and this has led us to some very valuable realizations. First of all, as an advertiser, very early on, we were aware that tracking quality is at stake with the traditional tracking methods that are out there. So this is, I think, a realization that advertisers came to before a lot of publishers, because we are in tune with how we track and what is happening in the industry. As a publisher, we notice that, you know, there's consequences, mostly monetary consequences, of working with advertisers who fail to provide up-to-date tracking solutions. So these two realizations combined, and then again reviewed from an advertiser perspective, have shown us that we have a responsibility as an advertiser. We have a responsibility to ensure holistic and state-of-the-art tracking to really keep the publisher ecosystem alive. So short-term financial gain cannot be the ultimate goal here. It's long-term benefits and sustainable partnerships. Moreover, of course, holistic tracking helps us measure and attribute this publisher performance accurately, so we can really judge which partnerships perform how and why. And finally, this ultimately is, again, the base for our commercial decision. So there is, of course, a financial aspect to tracking, but not only, and more of a responsibility for advertisers. So I think, going back to the myth, we have successfully busted it. Tracking is not dead. I think it's essential, and private networks are one of the best ways to go about it. Now let's climb our little pyramid a little bit further. So after we've dealt with setup and tracking, it's time to move on to processes. And, well, processes, that sounds, as I've heard before, very laborious, and partner marketing seems to be tedious and inefficient. So Why should I invest even more resources into a private network? Well, I want to show you that with the help of automation, you can actually optimize your processes to the point where you benefit from the time that you saved. So on the left side, you see a typical split up of time resources without automation, and the biggest chunk of your resources will, of course, go to manual tasks. Now, what happens if we manage to somehow, with the help of a software as a service provider or otherwise, automate a lot of these manual tasks? Well, this frees up time, and time that we can move away from manual copy and paste jobs to better utilize those resources we do have available in the team, and also the knowledge that I know is out there in those affiliate teams currently wasted on manual tasks. So if you want to optimize your program, if you want to review your traffic, the ad media you have, or how you categorize your partners, and at the same time motivate those people who work for you by giving them meaningful and meaningful jobs that are full of growth potential, automation is the way to go. Furthermore, you can also then invest more time into partner communication. And really, that's what it's all about in partner marketing, as the term implies. So use this time to talk to your partners to find out, are they happy, or what are they happy with? What are they unhappy with? And what can you as an advertiser do to really guarantee publisher satisfaction and in turn make your program all the more interesting and attractive? And finally, let's not forget about industry research. I think that's why a lot of you are here right now. You've taken time out of your day to learn about what's going on in the industry. And if you automate processes, you will find even more time to find out what are your competitors doing or what's going on in the industry. Now, finally, after you have managed to automate those processes, it is time to reap the benefits. And those benefits come in a number of forms. First of all, as I mentioned, you will have a competitive program. So by knowing what's going on with the industry, what competitors are doing, you will be able to make your program all the more attractive. My favorite personally are the sustainable relationships that emerge. By investing more time into partner communication, you keep in touch with your partner's needs. You become really close-knit, and you offer them, you know, what you can with your program, and in turn, they will reward you by being loyal partners. And this finally leads to a sort of independence from other marketing channels, a very, very singular traffic sources, by offering a diverse base of partners who supply you with additional traffic. Now, I think you've understood the benefits of automation, but Siamak, tell me, how can we achieve this?
First of all, I want to say this diagram you had, every engineer should look at it, what the impact of an engineer can be in the market. So you can multiply yourself as an engineer. And I think that's also the mission we should have as engineers. Automation is key. I mean, automation, no one should start writing software when it's not all about automation. It has to start somewhere. And if you work in the affiliate or partner marketing area, you have some repetitive tasks you don't want to do again and again and again. First of all, we all know that if you're working in special verticals and you have retail and you have some reconciliation you have on leads and sales, so you need to approve them, you need to reject them, you need to change the commissions and stuff. And this should be very easy for you to do. This should be from half automated, if you can't automate, until automated. And the technology should not stand in front of you, but just help you and push you to do that. Also, you should be able to configure what you want the system to do. If you just say, hey, for me, it's enough that for this type of category of or category of products I have, I just want to say after 21 days or 14 days, it's enough. It was time enough to reject the sale. Let's confirm it. Why? Because you want your partners to see the change. You want to be effective. You want to even take a part of the risk maybe on your side to just have a fruitful partnership. You want the system also to not treat all approvals equally. You want to go down even on product level or product category level and be able to approve or reject them after time. This should be the system which is doing. The system should be awake at 2 o'clock in the morning and doing its job. it's not you, you should do it. At the same, with the same idea, you should treat commissions and campaigns. You should be able to plan a campaign and upfront. The system should automatically jump up and down and change commissions based on performance, based on time. And if you do it rule driven, you go up the hierarchy and say, okay, partners have to be incentivized. They just want to see that their willingness to work better for you and do everything they can for on behalf of for the customer brings something. And this could be level upgrades. It could be the next commission model. It could be a bonus which is automatically applied. You don't want to sit after a month and see and calculate with a spreadsheet which bonus you want to assign to which publisher. You should plan that in upfront and even also be honest with it, and also but attract publishers with that kind of approach, that the system calculates it and it's not dependent on a person sitting there and maybe being ill and not being able to filling out the spreadsheet. At the end, automation is also about software development. I see a lot of companies writing software to export data from one system and export data from another system, import it to a third system. You should rely on your software as a service partner, as like Ingenious, to do that for you. For example, we, and I will present that also later, we just export the data you have and import it into a database for you, and you don't have to do it with an own IT project. Why? Because it's your data and it's not ours, and you should access the data in that way that you can report on it, which we also show later. And if all of that doesn't help, let's use APIs. You should rely on APIs in 2020 as much as you want. The functionality should be available for you, and there should be no hidden functionality which is behind something which is not an API but just clickable by the UI. We have customers who really try to avoid going to the user interface because they have other systems which are integrated, and I think that's key, and that is what I call the hidden employee. So if you want to, we also have a name internally for this, but we would just call it a hidden employee because it's working for you 24/7. So I can say that no one is interested for you to do manual and tedious work and invest resources wrongly. The software should be there for you. And I think this mist is clearly busted when you have a partner which focuses on that. So we climb up and the weather gets better. We bypass some clouds, but it's getting colder. So you have to warm up for the last two rounds. Reporting. So with reporting, it's all about accumulating what we did until now. The tracking, the automation, the basic needs, all of that is collecting data. We don't want to collect data just to collect data. We just want to collect enough data to be able to decide what to do next, to find outperforming partners, to find not working integrations, to find misbehaving integrations. Why not? It still exists. You should look into your data and should be able to identify that. But that needs reporting. That needs an access to data. And what I found out 4 years ago when I joined Ingenious is that this is a little bit different in this industry. I'm coming also from a more technical industry, which is all about backend and data. And I found out that it should be more easy. It should be easy that you just connect your business intelligence tool to the data of your provider and then just can report on it, or maybe crunch the data, maybe run in future machine learning algorithms on it. So what we did at Ingenious and what we do with all our customers is providing an analytical database. Currently, we have the Google BigQuery support. We're extending that so that this data source becomes the source for your business intelligence team. The idea is that it's your data. Why to hide it behind very proprietary APIs? Why give you another task to have an internal IT project to export data from Ingenious to import it to your business intelligence tool or database? We just do it for you. And with Google BigQuery, we have a very broadly accepted interface for business intelligence tools so you can access your data. And all major BI systems from small and without any cost, like Google's Data Studio, up to Tableau and Microsoft BI, you can use that data source. And for me, it is, you shouldn't work to collect data. You should work on data. That's a different beast. And you shouldn't just start from the beginning with the first click and the first conversion to see that appearing in your reporting individually. Andrea, again, now I started with technology. Your perspective on reporting should be not so technical as mine, but I think you need the basis, but you have to do something with it.
Absolutely. And, you know, if we're honest, none of us like reporting. So it's a tedious process. And sometimes we just want to be lazy. We want a preset structure, maybe even an account manager who highlights key findings on a regular basis. But I do think there's a lot of overlooked potential that way. And that's why I urge you, you know, within the protected environment of a private network, take advantage. It is your data. Your software as a service provider in a best case scenario provides you all these amazing structures and this groundwork to really make it your own, to choose how you want to report and especially what you want to report on. And in the case of Idealo, we decided to extend our reporting and, you know, aside from the usual commercial KPIs, also include non-commercial analytical KPIs. So, one of those are engagement indicators, and I'm sure they look different across a variety of advertisers. But for us, those engagement indicators are, for example, customers who set price alerts, who add items to their wish list, who sign up to the newsletter, or who create an account on our site. So this really gives us a clue about how engaged the customers are with us and how they interact with the advertiser. And this is data, again, that you might want to protect, that you might not want to share with third parties, but this is your environment, your playground. So why not take advantage and start looking into those KPIs and reporting on them? Another example could be a post-view transaction. So not necessarily post-view from a commercial standpoint where commissions are a first goal, but more of about gaining additional insights. So the branding impact of your ad media, this was a big topic for us. So what happens to customers who've been in contact with our ad media, but who might not necessarily have engaged in a click right away? These are insights that very, very valuable for us. And they also help us differentiate the types of partnerships that we do have in our program. Next up, you might also want to think about extending your KPIs in a different way. So instead of just adding to the KPIs that you want to report on, why not pay the favor of setting up these reporting structures forward and get creative with other internal use cases? So now that you've done the work, you've worked with your provider, best case, you have a pre-established tracking environment, you have a nice reporting environment, you have easy benchmarking because you do have a variety of partners in your publisher pool, and you can even add attribution rules. Why not think about adding internal departments, for example, the brand department, to your private network, letting them benefit from the structures that you have set up and help them measure their success in their own way. So I think housekeeping, yes, it can be a little bit of time investment, but it's not hard and it's definitely not confusing if you set the right environment for yourselves. So now we're almost at the top of our pyramid, and you know, this is where it starts getting really fun. This is about curation. This is about taking a look at your publisher landscape. But now you might say, wait a minute, publisher landscape, there is no control mechanism. So even if I've done everything else correctly up to now, I'm kind of at the mercy of my partners. I can't control what they do. So let me prove you wrong one final time. You want to fine tune and optimize. So what that means is you really want to take a look at everything that you've done so far, the entire pyramid structure. And if you've mastered each level correctly, you now have plenty of options for deliberate steering and curation of your advertiser program. So, for example, commission presets for different publisher business models, or, you know, individual confirmation of each additional ad space that a partner does add, allows you to really curate partners along the entire funnel. So rather than focusing on volume-driven partners, you can also go towards more content-driven partners and reward them in their own unique way. Next, you know, the different ways to track and reward different kinds of KPIs and transactions that we talked about also allows you to move away from quantity-only publishers and talk about quality. And this quality should not only pertain to your partners, but also to your ad media. So by setting rules and gaining insights in a granularity that goes as deep as ad media, so the feeds or the banners, the creatives that you provide, you can really curate your ad media to fit your publisher needs individually. And this makes your program all the more attractive as an advertiser. But we don't just want to make our advertiser programs more attractive. I think we do actually have a responsibility to contribute to the affiliate industry as a whole by curating our programs well. So first of all, we foster diversity by keeping entry barriers low, meaning that by not only working with big volume driving publishers, but also with smaller publishers and setting up commission and other partnership models for them, we encourage them to join the industry. And this makes the industry what it is, really like a big ballpark of a variety of different publisher business models. And we also foster quality that way. So when publishers notice that they are being rewarded for the traffic that they send, whether it's volumes or highly engaged traffic, they will be incentivized to keep going. And this again, you know, fosters independence. So publishers don't want to be reliant on just one advertiser. If there's numerous advertiser programs out there who are well curated, who have the possibilities that, for example, a private network does provide, publishers will be able to work with a number of advertisers and make them less dependent on the volatility of just one advertiser, again, reinforcing the diversity in the industry. So those were some brief words on our final myth. There are control mechanisms, and it's really fun to curate your advertiser program. So why not climb up that pyramid to do it?
Completely fascinating 6 minutes, I think. I was just stunning. So from my point of view, you didn't heard anything about technology in that area, because it would be arrogant to talk about that, that technology can solve that. It is all about humans in that level. We can try in future with artificial intelligence, machine learning approaches to help. But to be honest, I watch the industry. I know our customers. They have to reach this point of curation until all of our industry can go up the next step. You can't bypass. There are no shortcuts. Look at this hierarchy. You can't bypass automation because you won't have the time for curation. And you can't bypass curation and start with ruling the world with artificial intelligence or something like that. I might sound a little bit classical here, but I know what I'm saying. And I'm an engineer, and I can tell you bottom up, but also as fast as possible. That is the approach, and as focused as possible. So thank you very much for your time. And I enjoyed really this format, I have to say. And we have still 3 minutes left for questions. Andrea, thank you also to you. I heard one question in this in the chat. It was about the multi-touch attribution. It was answered by one of my colleagues, Tobias. Thank you very much. But still, I want to maybe go back a second to answer that. So with multi-touch attribution, the question is, if you do it exactly like Exactech, and the answer is no. There are two types of attribution systems. You can call them real-time and not real-time. So Ingenious is trying to do everything real-time, which means in the moment you have your lead or your sale, we build up the customer journey, we attribute, we execute all of our attribution logic per sale, per click and per ad impression, which means also that partners who rely on this fast attribution, for example, for bidding or for price comparison or other types of publisher models, can get this real-time information as quick as possible. So that's a major difference to other systems who do it like daily or weekly, to have this post view on your attribution, which gives you other insights, I have to admit. You need to have both. Ingenious is focused on that during real time, but also gives you the data, as I told you, afterwards to do other attribution considerations. Great. Is there another question in the chat? Okay, we get some celebration here, which I find great. Andrea, from my side, what is happening next? I mean, we heard about you copy-pasting advertisers. That's, I would say, the boring part, because it's possible. What is still challenging for you?
The challenging is, of course, what I talked about previously is really extending all the technology, the automation, the report that we currently have to other parts of the business. So this is really, you know, we've put a lot of time into it, a lot of investment, and we want to encourage as many colleagues and other departments to take advantage of this solution as possible. And, you know, so it will be a little bit challenging fine-tuning exactly what do they need? What would they like to use it for? And ultimately also working out how to benefit from this very holistic environment that we're aiming at creating. So once we have different departments within the system, what do we do with that? Which rules, what strategies do we want to follow? And that will be very exciting. So I'm really, really happy that, you know, now once we're done with the boring copy paste part of creating the advertisers, we can move on to that.
So thank you very much for this insight. I also have to say that personally, I think the ecosystem should be able to talk more about this. I think this experience should be shared as we do now, and also maybe the failings. I also saw private networks not succeeding, which is not a big deal. Why? Because it's an experiment. Maybe it wasn't right, not the right time, maybe not the right approach, or maybe this talk was missing for some corners and ideas. But what I want to say is this, there should be a continuous improvement, which we have to install in our minds for technology, but also how we work together. It's a B2B relationship for the customer, so B2B2C. And I think technology should fade away more and more. I know there is responsibility with this. The moment you don't know what the technology is doing is the frightening moment, but you should be able to also understand by listening to talks like this and also following the industry. So I want to close this up with a big thank you for you to be for your willingness to reveal some of your details. And it's a very pleasure to have you as a customer. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me here. And thanks to everyone who joined us today.